Amen. Yeah, so as David introduced a few weeks ago, we're going to be spending a bit of time in the small groups. Also, we've started in some on focusing on the harvest and praying for nations. And I want to really encourage you to join. There's some information in the foyer, a bit more information, and some links also on the website. And on the Shofar Online.tv website, there's some information videos if you missed those that we played in church. So basically, with this week coming, there's a pastors' conference, as I said, in north of India, north of Delhi. And so there's, I don't know how many they're expecting, but there's pastors coming from all over the Himalaya region. It's really an amazing opportunity. This is not the first one. We've had a couple there. I think this one is a bit bigger. And it's just amazing how God has connected us with people there, and has given us amazing opportunities to reach some of the most unreached, or to at least partner with the locals to reach some of the most unreached places on the planet. I mean, if you think about the Himalaya Mountains, that's pretty much even difficult to reach just physically. So apparently some of the churches there, you have to walk, we walk 3 days. They're not accessible by vehicles necessarily, so maybe by helicopter. Some of the church planters that are operating at the moment were headhunters in the past. So apparently you go to the house and there's still some skulls lying around, you know, but now they're born again, you know. So it's amazing what God is doing. And there's this incredible number of people groups in those mountains that have never, ever heard even the name of Christ. And so it's really amazing, just the privilege that we are able to be a part of that. And it's just an amazing reminder that as we, you know, a while ago, just putting words to what the vision that God gives us, and we came to the phrase neighborhoods to nations. And it's amazing that even though the harvest starts in right here, you know, in your backyard, in your family, in your neighborhood, it does extend to the ends of the earth. And often we think, but you know, how can I be part of that, or how can I have an impact? But yet, that's why the body is such a powerful body, because through us being involved with what God is doing in Shofar globally, we also have a part in what's happening there. And so, if you missed the video that we played with the information, we're going to play it in small groups this week again, and some, I know. And if you missed it, look online on shofaronline.tv. Check there. There's some links there. And we're going to be doing a few, we're going to focus on that and pray for the conference that's happening this week, starting on Thursday evening. But we're also going to be praying for what's happening locally. So again, it's a neighborhood and it's a nation. So we're praying for the Awaken morning, for the ladies' morning that's coming up, and also for the outreach service with Sias and Andres. And we're going to be doing prayer walks in small group context. So that's exciting. It's better this time of year. Hopefully it doesn't rain. But it's let's go on. So we're going to so the harvest is there, but it's also here. It's a bit of both. It's different. It's different to share a gospel with somebody that's never heard of the word name of Christ. I've had that once. They did hear. They didn't know anything. They just heard the name, but they didn't know anything more than that. And it was amazing. I started at the beginning. It's like, when God created. It was quite long. Anyway, well, I'll tell you about that another time. But so just in terms of bringing it back to home, the harvest starts right here where we're at. You like my map? There's still some sea monsters there, so it's not a recent one, but I think it is representative. All right, so let's start with right here at Isaiah 52. Go right. Oh, you're at the last one. Go left lots. Okay, go right. Okay, there we go. Your left more. See where we are? There we go. Okay, cool. Thanks. Okay, Isaiah 52. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Amazing picture here of someone that is taking the good news, who's taking the good news of the gospel, and who's the bearer of glad tidings, as it says here. And it's funny, but and if you think about the Himalaya region, or even some of the far, you know, the rural places in Africa that we've done mission in, it is almost like this. It's literally a person that walks into the village and then, you know, brings the gospel. The one of the stories that's on the video that's online is of the team that went to one of these villages. They I think it was their first time to visit this specific village up there in the Himalaya somewhere, and they were given a house to stay in. It was quite dilapidated and falling apart, but they, you know, kind of just, it was fine, and they stayed there. But what they didn't know, the only guys told them later, is that nobody wanted to live there because it is haunted. Okay, and that night apparently they felt there was a bit of a presence there, and that night there was some demonic activity, to such an extent that some of the team members were taken by the feet and dragged out of the house, type of thing. But the guys stood, you know, basically took authority over the situation, rebuked the demons, and the demons left, and they could sleep. And the next day, that testimony was the platform on which they could share the gospel with the village. Because people asked, because this is nobody could stay in that house before, what happened, how did it happen, etc. And they just shared. And the people could see that this God is more powerful than any demon or anything that they have experienced. And people started coming to Christ. But literally, you know, the people that you'd walk into the village and bring the good news. So my question to us this morning is, what do your feet look like? Okay, don't take it too literally. What do you have beautiful feet? You know, are you somebody, and this is not extend only to literally bringing the Bible or the gospel, but the gospel is many, you know, is in many things in terms of how we reach out, how we love people, how we communicate the love of Christ. But the key thing here is, are you somebody that is the bearer of good news? Are you when you come into a situation, is it a blessing to the situation or to the people or not? Or is it like just like in the middle somewhere? So what do your feet look like? What do my feet look like? Do you bring good news? Are you somebody that people look forward to seeing? Okay. We can look into more into that. Let's go on to the same scripture quoted in... Okay, no, that's wrong. Okay. No, that's wrong. Okay, so in... I'll just quote it. So in Romans... Actually, can I quickly borrow your Bible? I'll read it. In Romans 10... Paul quotes this scripture. I'll just quickly read for us. Now you know I'm not tricking you. This is the real thing. Eh? Okay, Romans 10 from... We've been reading a lot from Romans 10. Let's just read from verse 10 again. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring the glad tidings of good things. So Paul puts it in context there for us in terms of how would people believe, how will people respond to the gospel unless they've heard it? And how will they hear it unless somebody is willing to go there to the far-flung places or to go into this space at the park or to go into this space at work? How will they hear unless they've heard? And how will they hear and how will they preach unless they've been sent? And so my question is this. So if we look at our local context, do we have beautiful feet? And also to add to that is, why have we been put in the situation that we've put in? And that brings us to Genesis chapter 12. Okay, there we go, we're back on track. Genesis 12, now this is where Abram is responding to God, and the Lord gives him some instructions and also a promise. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now this is quite huge. Okay, if you stand a little bit on this, this is massive. If somebody, God gives you a promise like this, you're like, you're going to take note. Firstly, Abram didn't have children at this stage. Okay, so this was a big thing. And secondly, he doesn't stop with, you know, Abram, you're going to be a blessing to your city, or you're going to be a blessing to your street where you live. He goes beyond that. He says, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And part of that obviously refers to Jesus, who was born out of that lineage. And in him, everybody, the whole earth is blessed. Amen. And what I want to refer to specifically this morning, he says, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. So why has God put me in the family that he's put me in? Why has God put you in the job that you're in? Or in the street that you live in? Or in the family that you're in? It is clearly that a big part is that we have been blessed. We have been made to be a blessing. We are blessed so that we can be a blessing. And the power of that is sometimes we don't see. And we don't often, sometimes we don't even take note of the fact that the blessing of God is so powerfully upon our lives, and that it profoundly affects every place we go. But sometimes we just kind of live past that and we don't pay attention. And I was just reminded of that this week. My uncle's been ill for a while, and this last 2 weeks it went downhill quite fast, and so he passed away on Friday. And you know, always times like this, it just makes you face, you know, earthquakes and deaths in the family. It makes you face the reality that life is not forever life on earth. How fragile life is. But at the same time, it makes you kind of just realizing what's important. And I just realized it's actually such a blessing, because even though, obviously, my uncle, when he was almost 80, and, you know, obviously I was always like one of the smaller cousins in that family. Over the last couple of years, we were able to spend a lot of time, or we've always spent a lot of time when we went to visit there. But it's so amazing that even through little things, I could have a small impact on his spiritual journey and his salvation. A couple of years ago, and I didn't even remember this, but the Lord reminded me a couple of years ago. I was praying, Lord, how can I reach out to my uncle? he was kind of religious and traditional. Is it from German? You know, he's a German, the German side of the family, but also a farmer. So not the easiest guy, but the amazing person. But then I was praying around, you know, how can I really trust for him to be saved? And what I did is I felt to give him some books. I gave him books by Angus Buchan, who's from the same area and who's also a farmer and, you know, who has amazing testimony. And I gave him a book from him, and I gave him a tape or a recording of a sermon from him. And I just prayed. And I was, you know, I wasn't even there. I sent it with somebody. And I just felt an urgency to send this. But the Lord is so faithful. It's just a little thing like that. And I remember the next time, a year or two later, when I visited, I think he'd forgotten where he got these things, because he said to him, "Have you heard of this guy?" You know. And then he had a whole range of books there which he got. So the Lord just used that little seed, and obviously that was just a small part of it. But from that time, his spiritual life completely changed. And I know that he had a relationship with Christ. And there was such a powerful reminder that our part is small, but that step of obedience and that step of faith plays its part in what God wants to do in that person's life. And now I can, with confidence, encourage his family and my cousins that aren't saved that he indeed did have faith in Christ. So my question is this: why are you in that family? So that's part of the reason why I'm in this family, is to have a small part to play maybe in what God is doing in every heart. So my question is: why are you in the job that you're in? Is it just because of your degree, or is it just because of what they offered you? Or same for the street we live in. You know, we're busy praying about whether we should trust God. Well, we want to trust God to buy a house, and where should we move, etc. And that's absolute key for me, because I believe God places us very specifically. I'm going far too slow. Anyway, why are you in that situation? The other day, Rob and I had lunch there at his office, a very impressive office area there, if you want to go and visit Rob over lunch. But at the end, we stood looking at the building that his company is in, and we just spoke the word over the building. We spoke the word over the company. We prophesied. We prayed, open eyes, you know, in public, you know, just as if we're having a chat. But the thing is, it was such a powerful moment, because we could recognize that God has put Rob there for a specific purpose. And that Rob is in that place to be a blessing, and he is being a blessing. But to take that a step or two further is to say, what does that mean? And how can I prophesy life over this place? How can I connect with what God is doing in this company? How can I connect with God's purpose in this company and see his kingdom come? So let's go forward. So let's go to Deuteronomy. Okay, let's just quickly go through this. This is a long one. All right, so Deuteronomy 28. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the word of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command to you today, that the Lord your God, now listen to this, promises of us being a blessing as we walk in obedience and relationship with him, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall the fruit of your body, shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. You can translate into whatever industry you're in. Okay, blessed shall be your basket and your netting bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you. Who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. I like that one. The Lord will command the blessing. They will command the blessing up on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord God is giving you. So, you know, I believe, look, this was specifically for Israel at that stage. But I believe this is the heart of God towards his people. And this is very much the heart of God towards you and I, wherever we find ourselves. Isn't this incredibly mind-blowing that the King of Kings, the creator of everything, would say, this is my heart for you. I want you to be abundantly blessed. But this is the key then. It's for a reason. It's for a purpose. It's not just for the blessing. It's not just to have a great time. It's not just to be favored in your workplace. And I hear those testimonies every day. People saying, wow, you know what? This is just the favor of God. This is just God. We hear that and we're just blessed by the favor we see in our workplace, in whatever we do. But this is not just, that's not the end goal. Are you with me? There's a reason for the blessing. There's a reason for his blessing and his peace upon us. Okay. Let's go to the next one, 1 Timothy. So 1 Timothy 2:1-4. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So first we start, as Robin and I did, with prayer. How powerful is it that you and I can go in our street, and when we walk in our street, when I walk with the children, we pray. And when whatever happens, walk to the station or whatever, it's opportunity to pray. Sometimes it's interrupted by one, you know, running off, you know, or whatever. But that God calls us to not only in supplication, not only in asking Him for things, but declaring His word, speaking the Scripture, speaking the word over the street you live in, over the place you work. Over the situation, over the family that you're in, declare it, prophesy it. If you are able to anoint the place, do that. We do that with our homes. We get that bit. But if you have an opportunity at work and you're able to do it without everybody freaking out, then do it. And at least with your office. Consecrate that space and say, and partner with God about, why am I here? What, in what way and how can I be a greater blessing and to be deliberate about being that blessing? Amen. So, you know, we've been spending some time praying at Baron's workplace as well there in Hersham. And I really trust there's a potential there for us to really impact the community in a different way, because that is one of the key office environments in Hersham. But there are opportunities for us, wherever we find ourselves, to say, you know what, this is my little bit. I must take ownership of this bit. Even if it's this part of the company, or even if it's this street, or even if it's this part of the street, then I'm going to trust God for this part. And if you need to go early to anoint, then do that. Prayer walking always works better early in the morning or late at night, something. But make a time, consecrate a time. Drag in the rest of your small group to be part of it, but take ownership of the space that God gives us in our families, in our job places. We are commanded to pray for our leaders. And it's not only for their benefit, right? He says here that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So there's a benefit, there's a blessing in it for us as well. And specifically now, guys, in the time of leading up to elections and stuff, what a great opportunity to speak life, to prophesy life, to pray for our leaders, to pray for the elections, to pray about who you're going to vote for, because God is in it, and we need to do our bit for it as well and take responsibility. Let's go on to the next bit in terms of prayer. Hebrews 13:17 in the ESV. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. In other words, there is an advantage as we pray for our leaders, but also to submit, to honor, and to give honor where it's due. And this is not only this is in different spheres of authority, right? So we have social authority, we have you know, obviously governmental authority, and we have spiritual authority. And in all those, it's important to say, okay, there's a blessing in it for me, but this is what God is commanding us to do. So part of that prayer is obviously the understanding that we have to submit to and honor leaders, whether it be your small group facilitator, then give them a hard time. But we will have to give an account, the leaders will have to give an account. So let them do it with joy. So in this time, you know, this, we don't agree with all our leaders, guys. It's not what Scripture says. Pray for those that you agree with and those that you like. But, you know, politicians, leaders that we have in our society, let's trust God for His kingdom to come in their lives and through their lives. Let's pray for them. Let's, you know, carry them in prayer, even though we might not agree with what they're doing. Now, but now is obviously the time where we can trust God for whoever's going to be coming in, that those, you know, whoever's going to be voted in will have His kingdom come. Amen. So this is a key time for us to not only be praying, but to be involved. Okay. All right, so we're talking about taking ownership, praying for our leaders, praying for our little part of the pie. And, you know, we were talking about this the other day. At the beginning of the year, we preach a bit on stewardship. And I was always kind of avoiding that because people think, oh, you know, just talk about money. I didn't ever talk about money. But I realized that it's such a key thing, because it's not the only key thing. It's just one key thing that we need to preach about. Because just as if, you know, if I can't just leave out parts of the Scripture. And if you catch me one day in heaven and you tell me, you know, why did you ever tell me about the stewardship stuff, you know? And, you know, if I don't tell people the truth of our tithing, if you and I who are discipling others don't tell people the truth about what tithing means, what offerings mean, what giving to God means, then we're going to be held accountable, as those people are going to say, well, listen, God is asking me all these things about tithing. He never told me what's going on. And the same way, I'm saying to you this morning, we are going to have to give an account for that part of the pie that's yours. And this is not meant to be a you know, heavy thing, but it's meant to have us realize, okay, God has put me here for a reason. God has put me in the family I'm in for a reason. And one day, I'm going to stand before Him, and He's going to ask, you know that time when you were in that company? He's going to ask me to give an account. It's a bit sobering. Yes, we've been washed by the blood, and yes, we have eternal life, but there will be a time where we will give an account for what God has called us to do. And I'm trusting it's going to be a joyful celebration of, yes, God, that was amazing. Your kingdom came in that situation. Or for some, it might be a bit of a surprise, saying, what? I was doing the accounts. That was my job. That thing, that was me. And the Lord was saying, no, that was your function there, but I put you there for a reason. So this is the reality, that we will have to give an account of what is God is entrusting to us in a specific way. Okay. So be ready for that. So I think that the key thing here, guys, is that if you're not sure what that means for you, is to just engage with God. Say, Lord, to start with prayer. Say, Lord, I just want to, you know, consecrate this to you. I recognize that I'm here for something greater than just a job. And that's the point, to start praying about what is that purpose and what is your word for the company, what is your word for the situation. Okay, let's go on. Let's look at Jeremiah 29. So this refers to the nation that has been taken, a nation of Israel been taken into bondage, into Babylon, and this is not a blessed time for them. Okay, so this is the context there, but I want to just translate this into different contexts that we find ourselves in. Let's look at verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit, take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives to your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished, and seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. And that's the key I want to look at there. Seek the peace of the city where God has put you. That's not a passive thing. Do you see that? That's not a thing that I'm just you know, passively sitting and seeking the peace. It's not. It's an active thing. It's a proactive. What does that mean for me, God, in my street? What does it mean for me in my job, in my company, in my family, to seek the peace, and to seek the kingdom, and to seek whatever God has for it? As it says, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. So very much a point of seek the peace, pray for that family and that nation, seek what is God's kingdom, what does it mean for his kingdom to come there. And guys, if you're in a big company or if you're in a small one, there'll be different things, there'll be different opportunities, there'll be different ways. You know, if you have in your heart, if God puts on your heart to start a lunchtime prayer group or a lunchtime Bible study, then we can help with that stuff. We can give you materials, we can pray, we can even go and support you sometimes. But start thinking, what does that mean? Even at Barron's office, praying there once a week, that's a starting point. That's a connection point where we can say, okay, Lord, we're trusting, we're waiting on you, we're hoping for and waiting to hear what's the next step. What are you showing us? But that's the start, and that's where we can build from. Okay. Okay, let's go on. Matthew 5. Now, I hope most of you are able to join us with the Igniting Faith 40-day thing. It's been a real blessing, and I was telling the guys last week that, you know, I've always been relatively disciplined in terms of avoiding speaking negative stuff and avoiding speaking death over people and situations. For the most part, I hope. Please tell me if I'm missing it somewhere. But that is great. But the almost, you know, as important as that is to not saying the wrong thing is to say the right thing. So it's blessed to kind of bridle your tongue and not say the death and not say the negative things and not always expect the worst. But then, just as important is to say, this is the word of God for the situation. This is the promise of God for my company. This is his word for my family. And to speak that word and prophesy that word is as important. So if you haven't been able to join, it's never too late. Jump in there. Don't only do the little bit in the front. Look at the appendix. Read the scripture that is recommended. There's such a powerful principle at work there of abstaining from speaking death and negative stuff, but also very powerfully, proactively declaring truth and scripture and word. Okay? You're with me. All right, Matthew 5. So we're going to, I just want to agree with scripture here this morning. You are the salt of the earth. Isn't that exciting? Hey? You are the salt of the earth. I am, so let's just declare that. I am the salt of the earth. Hallelujah. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Guys, this is not a question that Jesus is asking here. Do you see that? He's not asking, are you the salt or are you the light? He's giving us some information. He's saying, this is how it is. And what I'm getting at that is that we start to live the truth. We start to live the fact that I am a blessing. The fact that you are in your company is already a blessing for that company. The other day, one of the ladies in London congregation, she's an au pair. So things didn't work out for it with a family that brought her over from South Africa, and they basically gave her notice. I was like, they don't get this because they're going to lose a massive blessing. The fact that this lady was living in their house and dealing with her children on a daily basis, they're not obviously not seeing it, but it's such is going to be amazing blessing. And obviously God knows, so she's at a different family now, and now that family is getting the blessing. But the point is, just inherently in the place, the reality that Christ is in us, and we have the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit, same Spirit, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, means that wherever we go, there's a blessing. Amen? I've heard amazing stories, and I'll just tell you the one. This guy that I met is also from Norway. It was at an evangelism school in Austria. He told us a story where he was walking. Once or twice he'd meet people, and it's normally, actually, funny enough, people that are either in the occult or in some kind of a dodgy spirituality, and they will ask him, "You have this," or they did not ask them, will tell you have the Spirit of God upon you. And they can recognize it. And he says, he'd spoken to people that were in witchcraft before or in occult, and they would say they can spot a spiritual believer down the street. And then they'd cross the street and walk on the other side, because it's in the Spirit. We don't recognize it often, but in the Spirit, there's such a powerful presence that goes with us and a blessing that goes with us. But we just kind of, we just carry on. And we don't live like this is true, that we are the salt. Salt to season, salt to make thirsty, make people thirsty, make prime a situation for the kingdom to come, for the gospel to bring fresh water and to quench that thirst. Light in the darkness. You know, if you think of if you feel your workplace is a dark place, or if you think when you go into London it's dark there. Imagine a pitch black room and just to light one candle. It makes a massive difference. And to recognize that it's not because you're special, you are very special, but not because it's something that you are manufacturing. It's just by the reality that Christ in us is the hope of glory. Amen. Okay. I'm going to close. Acts 1, just to close with this. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Why? You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And Mark 16:20. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. Okay, we have this challenge in the more charismatic part of the church. I was listening to Jackie Pullinger the other day. If you have an opportunity to read some of his stuff. A very challenging lady. In any case, she was just making this point, saying how the big part of the charismatic or Pentecostal church, there's this attitude that the gift of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, is for us to have a great experience with God. And that's how we kind of deal with it. It's to have a good experience, it's to have goosebumps and enjoy worship. Obviously, that stuff is all amazing. But that's not the reason. That is not the purpose of the anointing. That is not the purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit. There's only one main reason, and that is for the gospel to be taken to the ends of the earth. So that blessing that you and I have received, that infilling of the power of God, the Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead, it's not just for me to be able to pray in tongues and to connect with God on a deeper level. That's amazing. But do you see that the absolute core of the reason is for us to take the gospel to the ends of the earth? And it starts in my street. So I'm trusting it for us. As we grow in faith, as we stir faith and hope, that we would get to a place of again expecting and trusting for the power of God to be manifested in our encounters with people. And that starts with the little things. It starts with offering to pray for your colleague's headache or whatever, even if they don't want you to pray there. Just tell them you're going to pray. It starts with little things like that. And you just watch. Because let's look at what happened in Mark here. It says, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through accompanying signs. That is what will happen when we step out. I mean, let's stand this morning. Okay. I'm just going to close with Colossians 1. And I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Okay, now this is the key part. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. That is what we look to. That is what we put our hope in. And Paul says something very powerfully in a different part. He says, I am innocent of the blood of all men. In other words, every opportunity that I had, I used. Every life that I had the opportunity to impact, I know I did what God wanted me to do. Praise the Lord if we are all able to say that at the end of our lives. Innocent of the blood of all men. The fact that I was able to respond to the call of God, even for the smallest thing, even for the smallest part, but that I was able to respond in obedience and say, Lord, yes, God, let your kingdom come in this situation, in my workplace, in my family, in my street. You've put me here not by accident. You've put me here for a reason and for a purpose. Father, we come humbly before you this morning, Lord. Firstly, God, we thank you that we can acknowledge and receive the truth of your word this morning, that each one called by you, God, each one redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, each one bought with the highest price is a blessing, just inherently because of Christ in us. And we receive the truth here, that each one of us here is a massive blessing inherently because God is with us and in us and will never leave us, God. We thank you for that, God. Thank you that you have commanded your blessing over us. Thank you that your word says it will follow us and it will overtake us, your blessing, your goodness, your mercy, your loving kindness, Lord. But I thank you, Lord Jesus, we come humbly this morning and we acknowledge, Lord, that this is for a purpose. The purpose of your kingdom, the purpose of your name, the purpose, the sake of the gospel, God. And this morning, Lord, we open our hearts, we say, Holy Spirit, come and transform us on the inside, Lord. Come and recalibrate, Lord, how we think about our street, our family, our workplace, wherever we find ourselves, our sphere of influence, of relationships, friendships, neighbors, that we would, in the deepest part, connect with the reason that you have given your Son and the reason why you've poured out your Spirit upon all flesh in Jesus' name. Lord, we speak over our communities, Lord, over our workplaces. We speak over our nation, over our families. Jesus is healer. Jesus is Savior. Jesus is King. Jesus is Redeemer. Jesus is Restorer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the healer of hearts and broken lives and restorer of relationships. We look to you, God. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are with us. We thank you that we ask this morning that you fill us afresh, Lord. Fill us afresh with your power. Fill us afresh with your presence. To overflowing, God. We acknowledge, Lord, that we cannot represent you as we should. We cannot be that blessing unless it's by the power of your Spirit in us. The resurrection power of Christ in and through us. In Jesus' name, Lord, we open ourselves this morning again as vessels, God. Not as receptacles, Lord, but as vessels, channels of grace, Lord. Channels of your power, channels of your love, channels of your grace, channels of your forgiveness. In the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that you do a transforming of hearts, God, this morning. Change our hearts toward our leaders. Even in this time of elections, God, that we would pray, Lord, that we would intercede, that we would take our place, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that you plant in us, Lord, a seed of expectation, a seed of hope, a seed of faith for our street, Lord, for our community, for our families, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, that not we not only would just survive and make it day by day, but Lord, that we would connect with your heart and your purpose and your plan to a place where we reach that amazing place of partnership with you, where our fulfillment lies, God, in Jesus' name. Father, we come against every fear, we come against every doubt in Jesus' name. We come against every lie of the devil, God. Everything that keeps us consumed, keeps us bound, keeps us in a little box in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we thank you this morning that you open eyes to see, that you open hearts, that you open ears, Lord, that we would hear your heartbeat for our nation, for our street, for our family, for our workplace, God, in Jesus' name. I just see God removing like plugs from my ears, removing stuff from my eyes now in the name of Jesus. It's almost as if I see Christ walking the aisles and taking stuff from your eyes, saying, I want you to see. I want you to see what I see. I want you to see the need. I want you to see not only, yes, in your own neighborhood, but also across the nations. My heart is not only for your neighborhood. My heart is for the nations. My heart is for all nations to be saved. Oh, Lord Jesus, God, take away every blind, take down every thing that covers our eyes in Jesus' name. Lord, let us see, Lord. Let us hear what's on your heart, God, in Jesus' name.